This is a very peculiar verse in the Bible. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Now, our Lord started to make his way to Jerusalem in chapter 9 of Luke's gospel. And he will make his way to Jerusalem in chapter 19. This is chapter 13. So Luke is reminding us that our Lord is still walking to Jerusalem to die for us. You don't realize it, but you're listening to these 10 chapters in 18 weeks here at Mass. And as our Lord journeys to Jerusalem to be crucified, he teaches along the way, and he gives us the requirements for his kingdom. And he even takes questions from the crowd, like today. It wasn't even one of his disciples who asked the question, "Lord, will there just be a few who will be saved? How many go to heaven?" My high school students were obsessed with this question. They even harassed me. "Father, if everybody goes to heaven, what difference does it make? If nobody goes to heaven, what difference does it make?" Right? I mean, teenagers go through a phase where things don't make a difference. So, how many go to heaven? Now, listen to what our Lord does not say first. You see, our Lord is a rabbi, and a rabbi's response to that question is, all Jews have a share in the world to come. That's what the standard response would have been. All Jews have a share in the world to come, because many believed that their salvation was assured by their ancestry. If you were of Jewish ancestry, you were saved. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "What do you mean? How many go to heaven? I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. I'm going to go die for you. All you got to do is live and die, and you're going to go to heaven." Doesn't say that. He doesn't give numbers, he doesn't give percentages, he doesn't even suggest that most will go to heaven. His response, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. Many will try to enter but will not be strong enough." Strive to enter through the narrow door. "For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." It's difficult to be saved, because a life to the kingdom of God is a demanding life. And no one should presume they're going to be saved. No one should have presumption. No one is guaranteed heaven. And he tells this story of a master in a house, which is God in heaven, and people come and knock on the door, and heaven will not be opened. And the people say, "Hey, you know me. We ate, we drank, you taught." Familiarity is not enough to guarantee heaven. Being religious is not the same as following Jesus. No one is guaranteed heaven. None of us should presume it. People have asked me back in my high school, "Hey, Father, you going to heaven?" I mean, the answer is, I don't know. But I'm trying to live the life that's demanded of me by the cross. I'm trying. I'm not going to presume heaven. And this answer and the story our Lord tells after reminds us as well that if we are not recognized, the door is locked and cannot be opened. That's what Jesus said. Pope Francis, in 2019, gave a brief homily on this gospel. And our Holy Father assured us that we would be recognized when we knock on the door if we've lived a life of faith. Not if we've lived a moment of faith, but a life of faith. And he said, living the life of faith is a life in the church, which means going to Mass. This is where we develop our relationship with our Lord. He uses the words near and nourish. He said at the Mass, we stay near the sacraments, and at Mass, we are nourished by the Word of God. This is our narrow door where we get strength to go through. That's why we need this habit. Why do Catholics quit going to Mass? If we can't presume heaven, why do Catholics quit going to Mass? Do you remember the Catholics Come Home commercials? The Catholics Come Home Network did a survey. I'm going to borrow from their study right now. They did a survey asking Catholics many questions. One was, why did you quit going to Mass? What's the number one reason why people quit going to Mass? They had a bad experience at Mass? No. They don't like the priest? No. They don't like the teachings of the church? They don't agree with the church? No. Scandals? No. Fundraising? No, thank God. The number one reason why Catholics said they quit going to Mass, they just got out of the habit of going to Mass. It's like my buddy at my 20-year reunion. He said, Schumacher, you know, I hear you're a priest, good job. I haven't been to Mass in 20 years. I said, Joe, what happened? Did you leave the church? No. Well, what happened? I don't know. I guess I just quit going one Sunday, and that turned into a year, which turned into 10, which is now 20. For the first time in our history, Corpus Christi has over 2,400 families. When I returned from South Dakota, I signed over 20 letters to new families. We're now the biggest we've ever been. People join us for a variety of reasons. But if you put the pen to the paper, we're about 6,600 people. And we get about 23, 24, 2,500 per weekend, which is about a third, which is about normal in my 30 years as a priest. So Corpus Christi, you're average. Congratulations. Whether it's Rotary Club or church, right, there's a third in everything. One third does everything, one third does something, one third does nothing. Even big families operate that way, right? But this is our narrow door. This is why our Lord founded the church. This is how we can be assured that we're recognized. Okay, I'm going to land the plane. Tray tables up. In the last 3 decades as a pastor, I've often taken my staff on field trips. We get out, we see what people do, because that's your called vocation in life. We like to learn, and we get to know you, hopefully serve you better. If you want us to come, call us. In my Dickinson parish, we went out, we did a dinosaur dig in the Hell Creek Formation in southeast Montana. My staff still hates me for that. Do you know what they give you? When you lay on your ground, you lay on your side in the sun digging dinosaurs, you know what they give you to dig? A toothbrush. I mean, I want to bring in a bobcat, start sectioning the land till we hit something. Oh, you're down there. We went to a whiting oil site in the Bakken. We learned how to frack. We went to livestock sales, learned the cattle industry, a lot of working parts there. One day we went to a ranch north of Belfield. In this Billings County ranch, he was working calves one day, over 300 of them. And I watched for the 2.5 hours we were there, I watched how these calves were trying to get through a narrow gate. Now, when they got through the narrow gate, they were branded, banded. I'm not going to tell you what that means. You either know or you don't. And they were vaccinated. But these calves were away from their moms, and they were afraid. They were out of sorts, and then they became confused, and they got tired, and they were just there. But there were two wranglers among them. I would never jump over the fence, but I watched these two wranglers, these two young men. I mean, they looked just like Marlboro men. I mean, they were even smoking cigarettes. And you would think they would ram these calves through with brute force, but they were calming them. They were gently moving them. I remember this one tough guy, like, talking to this calf, calming it, moving it along. This is what the church is for us. We're helping each other here. We're being calmed of our fears of death, moving along through the narrow door. And Mary does that too for us. We invoke Mary as the gate of heaven, because she was the first to enter the narrow door as she received Christ. Jesus Christ is our gate to God the Father's heart. And we've learned today that God the Father's heart is a demanding heart. But it is also, in this life right now, a heart that is open to us. That is why now is the time.